8 o'clock hour, Jay Binkley, Chris Unocero. We're always paired together, it seems like now. Of course, we do that Character Concerns podcast, NFL Draft podcast, each and every week. So one of our passions and loves is college football. Chris and I like it. Drew Nixon, I don't know if you've seen what he does. You need to get the digital platform. You know, he previews every single team. Like, he's doing all 134. And he does a great job. I don't know if you've ever seen what Drew does on that, but it's a pretty good breakdown of all the teams. I always look forward to Drew doing that. I told him he starts charging for it, though. He does these great breakdowns, but doesn't exactly charge for it at this point. And Rob likes his KU, and he likes college football as well. But college football, the next couple of nights, it's going to be ridiculous. And this is the – in last year, it became really popular. People really enjoyed watching it. I know people, even though Colorado – kind of fell on their faces. They were, you know, getting big noon kickoffs every week on Fox. That, you know, game day was there. Everybody was else there. And there was an interest in college football. And I absolutely loved the interest people showed. And this week, or this year, it's for good reason. I think Missouri, they're definitely eyeing the college football playoffs, which is interesting because that 13-member committee, Will Shields is on that committee. Gary Pinkel is going to recuse himself when it comes to Missouri talk, but Gary Pinkel will be on that list as well. But the expanded playoffs, people are going to like it, especially having home games, you know, the first round at the campus stadiums. I absolutely love that. But Missouri gets started tomorrow night at 7 o'clock against Murray State, the one FCS team that won two games a year ago. So, again, these are going to be tune-up games for Missouri, not expecting a problem at all. With Murray State. Missouri's actually a 46.5-point favorite in that game as well. Kansas on ESPN Plus tomorrow night is playing Lindenwood. Yeah, Lindenwood's out of St. Charles. They were a Division II school, Chris, and they've made the transition to FCS. Lindenwood's, you know, a 3-win team from a season ago. They didn't win, and then Kansas State plays UT Martin, that, again, another FCS school. On Saturday, UT Martin's a team that won, what, three games? Or no, I think they won eight games last year. They won eight games in the FCS. They were actually a ranked team. That's right. They're actually playing the better FCS team because they played Georgia last year to start off, but they ended up being a ranked FCS team. But really, to be honest with you, that Missouri game is going to be fun to watch. But also the fact of, you know what else you got up tomorrow night at 7 o'clock? Because there is two good games on tomorrow, in my opinion, at 7 o'clock. It's going to be Colorado, North Dakota State. I know that's an FCS matchup as well, but it's an FCS team that likes playing Division I teams. Chris Klieman made a habit about it when he was at North Dakota State. Hell, they beat Kansas State, they beat Iowa State, they beat Minnesota. They have a history of beating Division I teams, and Colorado didn't exactly steamroll teams last year anyway. North Dakota State ranked second in FBS at this point, but Colorado 10-point favorites in this game. And, you know, I don't know if you watched much of Week 0 last week, Chris, but Montana State, when they played New Mexico, they were 13.5-point favorites. An FCS team was 13.5-point favorites over an FBS team. Then New Mexico got off that 17-0 lead. Montana State ended up winning the game, but they didn't end up covering that spread. But the North Dakota State game in Colorado, that's actually going to be on ESPN tomorrow at 7. Missouri be on SEC Network.
Yeah, so, I mean, I'm probably most excited for Colorado, North Dakota State, because...
it's going to be fun.
I'll say this, man. Colorado better win that game. And if they do not...
It's only 10-point favorites, you know what I'm saying?
Yes, I'm saying, and like... Generally, you've got a Power 5 or Power 4 school going up against an FCS school. Granted, it's a great FCS school, and the Power 4 school was a 4-win team last year. But you're talking about a situation where, and I talked about this when I was on with Drew a few weeks ago. Colorado can't afford, they absolutely cannot afford to lose this game. Because they got a tough schedule.
And their defense is garbage.
There's a lot of losable games on their schedule, especially in that second half of the season. And even in the first half, you probably got like 3 or 4 games that like are going to be some real tough games for you to win. And then in the back half, because the Big 12 is loaded this year. There's a lot of really good teams in the Big 12 this year. And you are going to be starting off against a team that's been one of the better teams in the FCS for a long time now, and you haven't proven that you're even among the best teams in your own conference. This is going to be a tough one. This is going to be a big test, and I'm going to tell you this right now. People are going to be waiting. They're going to be sitting there waiting for any hope for North Dakota State to pull off an upset. And if that happens, oh boy, like he is already kind of showing his ass with the way that he's treating the media out there in Boulder. Oh, wait to see what happens on Friday, on Thursday night and Friday, if they get upset by North Dakota State.
They're ranked second. North Dakota State's ranked second in FCS. They didn't win the national title last year. They basically won it every year since 2010. South Dakota State is the national champions, reigning national champions, and they're number one. They play Oklahoma State. And I like Oklahoma State, like in the Big 12. I think I have Kansas State winning it, but I really like Utah on that. I mean, Big 12 is going to be tough. And I think Oklahoma State, because Ollie Gordon's coming back, you know, in that backfield, they're loaded, and Bowman's coming back at quarterback for his 15th year. South Dakota State's playing at Oklahoma State on the 31st as well, 1 o'clock. That's an ESPN Plus game. If you don't have that yet, I recommend you go getting it. Remember Oklahoma State? They lose to South Alabama last year, right?
Yeah.
Before they made their run. So they have those sneaky games, but that South Dakota State game, very sneaky against Oklahoma State.
Yeah, possible, but I think Oklahoma State's probably too good for them to get upset here. But
they
yeah.
are. South Dakota State's very good.
Again, yeah, they are. They champions. Are, but you know, you're talking about a team that is in Oklahoma State that has a good chance of winning one of the Power Four conferences. Like, there's a difference between them. But, yeah, I mean, I'm telling you, man, tomorrow night, I really do think Deion Sanders, if Colorado loses tomorrow night, they're going to be in for a rough year. And Deion, I don't know if he's going to be coaching after this year if they have a kind of year like they did last year.
And I know the
year.
Big 12 was glad to get him. They actually paid them an incentive for Colorado to join the conference.
Oh, yeah. Of course they wanted him in there because they want that fanfare.
Well, tomorrow's definitely a two TV night. And I loved Week Zero. I don't know if you watched that, but the Montana State game, I only watched Florida State. The game in Dublin was fun. Friday night, you get the one game, Temple in Oklahoma.
Which really,
Oklahoma's 43
really, you're just
favorites.
Watching that for Oklahoma to see their guys. You know, there's a bunch of prospects on Oklahoma we've talked about on the podcast on Character Concerns. We'd appreciate it if you go listen to it. There's a couple good wide receivers that they got there. Good players on the defense.
Yeah, Studsman, yeah.
Yeah, they're good.
It's going to be fun. But really, the fun starts Saturday morning. Clemson, Georgia. That's the game of the weekend, 11 o'clock.
Yeah. That's your game.
On ABC.
Yeah.
I'll be honest with you. Also, it's, again, two television. Because on Fox at 11 is Penn State and West Virginia. West Virginia, I consider a dark horse in the Big 12. Way back, dark horse, you know, kind of ranked in the middle. But they finished strong last year. And then Penn State's got Drew Allard, quarterback. They're a fun team. They're a top 10 team, number 8. That's going to be a fun game to watch. So definitely, I put that. Actually, at 2:30, I think Colorado State and Texas, because I'm curious about Texas with Isaiah Bond, the wide receiver. And then Quinn Ewers, the quarterback. But I'm going to see what Texas has this year going forward. Last year, playoff team, see what they have going forward. Then at 6 o'clock is when you have UT Martin and Kansas State. And then 6:30, it's probably, I would say, the second best game of the weekend, Notre Dame at A&M. That's a loaded NFL prospect game, too.
Yeah. That game's going to be – there's going to be a lot of talent there. A&M's got a ton of good players on their roster there, especially on the defense. So, yeah, that's definitely going to be one to watch out for.
You know, they're so loaded that you had Texas – you had Evan Stewart, who's one of the best receivers in the country. They transferred to Oregon. So they had that on their roster at Texas A&M. Sunday is going to be fun at 6:30, USC and LSU. Will Lincoln Riley actually turn it around? Just remember, they were the only –
I think Riley's coaching for his job.
They were a top 10 team last year that finished unranked, and then LSU just with Perkins and Will Campbell, the tackles. I mean, that's fun to watch.
I think that Riley's coaching for his job this year.
I agree with you.
I think it's going to – because, like, he
when he just collapsed.
When he came in, he was regarded this superstar coach that came in with this superstar transfer quarterback in Caleb Williams, and it's like, oh, man, Heisman Trophy, and – he's going to be the number one pick in the draft. and it didn't translate on the field to winning in a way that you would have thought.
And he was doing this with the number one overall pick in the NFL, Caleb Williams.
That's what I'm saying. It's like he had, you know, the best quarterback in the nation, and yet his defense was awful last year.
Knew that from the beginning when I told you I watched San Jose State
game.
I was like
30-some points to San Jose State.
And then Colorado, which wasn't good, comes storming back on him.
Yeah, so it's like this year's going to – I think he's going to be coaching for his job this year. Yeah, and then obviously LSU, like, you know, Brian Kelly down there again. They've been recruiting really well.
I think LSU
they got
is sneaky good this year.
Oh, best offensive line this year. I don't know if they're sneaky good. I think a lot of people – they're like 13th in the nation.
Garrett Nussmeier at the quarterback.
Yeah, they're 13th in the nation. I don't know.
Jaden Daniels made them go, and they still couldn't get in the playoffs with Jaden Daniels.
Yeah. I mean, this is going to be a big test for them. Like I said, they got a great you brought up great offensive line, two great tackles, great guard.
And Will Campbell might be one of the first picks in the draft, top two picks in the draft to tackle at LSU.
Yeah,
Boston College and Florida State, the only game on Monday.
Not a good game.
Florida
State. Why'd they put this game on Monday night?
Can Florida State go to 2-2? Let dude have to eat dog crap out of a red Solo cup.
I want him to do it. I don't want to see it. But yeah, I hate Florida State. I enjoyed that they lost to Georgia Tech, and I would like to see the Eagles go out there and pull out that upset.
Hey, Georgia Tech, sneaky good, man. Brent Keith, it's a good coach.
Yeah.
That's a really good coach.
They're going to have to win in the margins if they're going to win the ACC or be competitive in the ACC, because there's a lot of schools that are more talented than they are, but, you know, If you're coached really well, you can win on the margins at the collegiate level,
Coming up next, talk about the Royals and their schedule going forward now as they're in the riptide, as Vern calls it, the 20-game stretch, as they sit 4-3 at this point after winning 3 of 4 from Cleveland. We'll discuss the Kansas City Royals next.
Follow Fesco and Dusty on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcast. 96.5 The Fan.
Welcome back. Jay Binkley, Chris Unocero. According to Awful Announcing, Pat McAfee is going back to where he played college football, West Virginia. And he's going to do a live broadcast on Friday from Morgantown. The headline on Awful Announcing, Morgantown schools closed Friday due to anticipated traffic congestion as Pat McAfee show prepares for live broadcast. That is Mr. Morgantown, isn't it? Having to cancel schools because of traffic congestion for Pat McAfee?
I mean, it's probably not a big town.
Oh, Morgantown's not that big.
No, so yeah, it probably makes a lot of sense.
What is the population of Morgantown, West Virginia?
Probably not that much. I mean...
Well, it's a cool town.
I would say it may be similar.
It's hard to get to.
Probably similar to like Leawood in terms of population.
30,000. Yeah. 277.
Probably not that. Yeah, it's a very small town.
Probably with the enrollment, probably over 50,000 there when you have the college students.
Yeah.
At the game there, but regardless, Kansas City Royals. Oh, by the way, Major League Baseball scores that matter. The Twins and Braves tied at 1, top of the 7th. If you want to see the Twins had someone picked off the base pass as well. In other games, you may be interested. The Mariners. They're sitting there still 4 games back for the wild card, but they win 6-2 over the Rays. The Red Sox have won tonight 3-0 over the Blue Jays as we scoreboard watch here. And, of course, the Royals losing earlier today to the Cleveland Guardians. It says, how many games back are they in the wild card now? It says Boston's 3.5 back from that final wild card spot. So, he's playing some ball, you know. Seattle sitting 5 back now. Minnesota better get their act together. Still got to play the Royals. It'll be interesting. But as far as the Royals' schedule is concerned, they're going to Houston for a big series. 4. Houston, the team they swept earlier this year. In the last 9 games, the Royals are actually 8-1 against the Houston Astros. You might say, well, you know, that was last year's too. Royals were not good last year. They won 56 games. The Astros were in the ALCS. The Royals played them 6 times and won 5 of those games. So the Royals are 8-1 in their last 9 games against Houston. A split, you'd be happy with that? Win 3 out of 4, yeah. But I think at this point, against good teams like that, again, they're 4-3 right now in this 20-game schedule. You split, you're still above 500.
Yeah, my philosophy is, yeah, as long as you – I don't need you to sweep. This series, yeah, if you split, I'm cool with it. Because at this point now, it's about maintaining momentum, and it's about proving that you can go up against these really good teams and you can play at their level, if not exceed it. That was my key there against the Guardians. Split the series. If you split the series, I'm cool. They took 3 out of 4. More than happy.
Thrilled to 3 out of 4.
You're facing, and like, because the narrative all summer long about the team is the comparison with the Miami Dolphins. Oh, well, they can beat the bad teams, but, you know, what are you going to do against the good teams? Well,
they're 7-3 against Cleveland.
And so it was like, it was important for them to go and get during this stretch against these teams, against the Phillies, the Guardians, the Astros, et cetera, because it's kind of a gauntlet here. It was important for them to come out of it with a winning record. If you come out of it with a winning record, you build confidence for a playoff run. And that's what I think this team needs to be focused on right now. Because I think right now, like, I think we're very certain this team's going to make the playoffs. I think they got like a 90% chance to make the playoffs. I mean, it would take a catastrophic meltdown for you to not make the playoffs.
For a team that has the best record since the All-Star.
Yeah, so it's like right now, your goal now is to prove to yourself that you can beat the good teams so that when you get to the playoffs, you got confidence because you know you did it during the regular season. So, yeah, I think right now this is very important for them to get out here and prove to themselves that they belong in this conversation with these other teams. And I like how they've done it. Like, you know, I know they got the ass whooped by the Phillies a couple times last weekend, but you came off of that ass whooping and then you beat the Guardians' ass 3 out of 4 games and you almost took that fourth game.
It's not like Phillies any
slouch.
Yeah,
it's not like you got smacked around in game 4. You were up and then you let it slip away, but you had an opportunity in that game to go out there and win it. You should feel really good right now about where this team's going, and I just want them to keep this momentum up. I'm not going to ask them to do too much. I think it's ridiculous to ask for them to go take 3 out of 4 against the Astros on the road. I think it's ridiculous to go out there and say, hey, go out there and do these extraordinary dominant things. But yeah, if you can hold serve and you can walk out there, walk out of Houston with a couple wins, I think you feel good about yourself.
Nick Cappell is in the Royals PR office. He says the major league record since 1900 for most wins following a 100-loss season is 87. Set by the 1967 Cubs and the 1989 Orioles. So the most wins ever for a team following 100 losses is 87. To break the record with 88 wins, the Royals would have to go 15-15 at this point. I mean, you know, basically be a 500 team. And the Red Sox need to go like 20-11. I saw it the other day. They need to go like 20-11. It's like they need to win at least 21 now, which they haven't done in any 30-game stretch this season.
They'd have to play out of their mind.
They would have to play out of their mind. But for the Royals, and also it would be the only team in the history of baseball to win a division if they're able to win the division with having 100 losses the year before. I mean, these are insane numbers you're seeing for the Kansas City Royals.
It's incredibly difficult to do what the Royals are doing right now.
Oh, yeah, in this modern day. And the Royals spent money. I mean, they're doing what you want. They went. John Sherman went and spent money in the offseason.
Yeah.
He did. He went right in. J.J. Piccolo did a great job last year.
He kind of had to.
Well, he did a great job with Reagans last year, you know, flipping him for Chapman. I mean, that was smart. I mean, Chapman was a piece to be dealt with, and he did it right. And you look at what Paul DeYoung's doing for this team, fixing in. Dusty was calling him the modern-day Ben Zobrist. Maybe you can say that about Paul DeYoung, but he's got 5 home runs from the Royals right now. The guy's killing it from what he's doing and his spot starts that he's doing. And Urcig has been incredible. Yeah, today was not his best performance, but again, he's been lights out for you since he's been here.
Ursek, I think, was the best trade just because you have a lot of team control over him.
Oh, till 2029.
Yeah, so it's like you feel really good about that move just because you have many more seasons after this of control. He's got great stuff, so you feel really good about his potential there.
And DeYoung was a great rental. Man, it's a great player to bring.
Yeah, he's got a nice
14
rental.
Post-game experiences.
They needed a little bit more pop in their lineup there, and you like him where he's going to be able, like, if you get a guy or two on, he can just, you know, knock him home with a nice, easy home run. MJ's starting to play some good ball, especially at the plate. He's been hitting really well since June. And on top of that, his defense has improved significantly. I mean,
the Red Sox never wanted to see him again.
Yeah, he had an amazing
He always has
sliding,
his whole career. He's like destroys the Red Sox.
Yeah, he had an amazing sliding catch yesterday in that first game.
Save the game.
Yeah, like it was a great catch there. Like, yeah, like he's starting to come on because like the first couple months you were like, oh, what the hell are you doing, MJ? Why are you doing this again? But he's, again, you know, started off really cold and then he hit his hot streak and hopefully he can put a full season together. But you like where he's at.
He plays for this team at the right time. I mean,
so
he does.
You feel really good about
it. And I give credit to the Royals
going.
For sticking with him. Like they stuck with him through the bad time.
Well, it's not like they had a lot of options.
When his average dipped to like 165 or whatever
was
that?
Yeah, but they
stuck with him, worked on a swing, and
they also didn't really have many options besides him. You know, it's not like it's not like they have a whole bunch of great outfielders sitting in the minors that they can just call up and they'll come in and instantly start mashing.
And they didn't exactly worry at the trade deadline for it either. They could have done that too.
Yeah, but again, they also don't have a whole lot of trade assets. They don't have a great farm system, and they don't want to mortgage their future by sending all of the few really good prospects they have to go try and chase a championship by getting an outfield on. You can't guarantee that. So really, they were kind of stuck with this anyways. But it's nice to see that, you know, MJ's starting to get it together and he's starting to hit well. He works really hard. He's really worked hard to improve his ability at the plate, especially his defense. His defense was awful a couple years ago. So you like to see that effort and it's starting to pay off for him. Hopefully he can do an entire season. But if he continues this run and he continues to be an asset for him in their lineup and on defense, yeah, I mean, you feel pretty good about them during this run.
Kirk Snyder from Dynasty Info had an interesting tweet. Since August 14th, Aaron Judge is the only player with a higher OPS during that span, hitting .353 during that span in four home runs just since August 14th. That's how good that he's been. And not only that, but Randy Gisarelli put it out that with the White Sox, he only had 14 walks and 363 plate appearances. He's already walked seven times in 64 plate appearances. You know what? Sometimes when you're at the better team, things change a little bit, right? You go to the ballpark, you're with the team that's in a playoff team.
You're talking about DeYoung?
Yeah, Paul DeYoung, because he's playing with the White Sox, and that'll bring you down sometimes when you're playing like, with a crap team like that. Like, that'll bring you down.
Sometimes, yeah. I mean, sometimes you are what you are, and sometimes, yeah, it'll bring you down. But he still had a lot of power. Behind his bat, even though he wasn't hitting for a great average. And yeah, now he's got a lot of protection around him. So there's other guys that are drawing the focus from the opponents rather than him.
I feel like the Royals have the energy. You don't see that same energy with the Cleveland Guardians. Matt Cotero, Matty Q, is on with Dusty and Bob Fesco every Wednesday morning at 9 o'clock. He basically summed it up with the Royals in their team attitude.
I mean, it all starts with pitching. Pitching is what drives most really good teams. I think the other thing is the attitude of this team is one day at a time. You know, it's not looking too far ahead, not looking too far in the past, and just coming in with a great attitude every day. And I think I've mentioned before, I mean, these guys are an inspiring group of guys to be around because of that. You know, they have a good day, they have a bad day, they turn the page, they come to beat you the next day. And like you just said, you know, at some point we were 10 games back, whenever that was. And, you know, you can start to, if you choose to look like, oh, wow, that's insurmountable. But this is baseball, right? I mean, every team's going to go through ups and downs. You know, that's why nothing's decided. And this is fun. This is why you play. You know, you're in a race. You got two or three teams competing for the division. You're trying to do the best you can, and every day you have to bring it, and that's what this team does a great job of.
So there's the Royals, the only small market team to win a World Series since the television explosion. You look at the Royals with 75 wins at this point. Dodgers have 78, and they've got over $200 million payroll. That's three more wins than they have. But the Royals are fun. They love going to work every day. And I noticed a lot of this from the beginning, just their attitude and things changing. They took ownership of the team the way Vinny was talking earlier on, you know, about, you know, this team's good, man. This team's good. Stay with us. We're good. I love that attitude that the Royals carried with them. Coming up next, Lewis Riddick had some major proclamations for Patrick Mahomes this season. Do we agree or not?
Follow Cody and Gold on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. 96.5 The Fan.
Welcome back, Jay Binkley, Chris Unocero. Don't look now, but the Minnesota Twins are down 5-1 in the top of the seventh to the Atlanta Braves. This will be their fourth straight loss. Are things starting to pucker up in Minnesota? Boston would go to just 2.5 games behind the Twins for that third wild card if the score holds on. And guess what, Chris? They have to play Boston three times in Boston later this year. So maybe, I thought the AL, we're looking at it kind of set who the playoff teams are. But man, Boston catch Twins, man. Look out. Twins are starting to play bad.
I mean, baseball's very hard.
Oh, it is,
it's
man.
It's a tough sport.
Never know when someone's going to turn on or not. But anyway, there's the Minnesota Twins. If they lose tonight, it'll be four straight, but they're down 5-1 to Atlanta. Lewis Riddick was on Get Up this morning on ESPN, and he had his season-long take on Patrick Mahomes, what he expects. Now, keep in mind, a lot of times we play some negativity where guys, you know, always look for someone else, another quarterback to step up. Lewis doesn't think that way.
Look, you know, we all love winners until they win too much, right? And that's going to be the case with Patrick Mahomes, man, because guess what? He's going to sweep it this year. He's going to win the regular season MVP because he's going to look like old Pat with their ability to throw the football down the field. And then he's going to go to the Super Bowl, and they're going to win it again. They're going to do something that's never been done in history. And he's going to win the Super Bowl MVP. And Brett Veach, who's a good buddy of mine, look, you're going to have to pay up, man. You're going to have to do something with restructuring this man's contract. And he's going to have one of those stupid, like, you know, like one of those soccer-type contracts, one of those Ronaldo-type contracts where, you know, Patrick's making $100 million a year. And that's still going to be a bargain. The dude is on another level, and he's about to put his team in this organization on a very rarefied level with the success they're going to have this year.
High praise there from Lewis Riddick. Do I think it won MVP? I do. I think the ball is going to – last year the Chiefs had the fewest air yards in the NFL on their passes, over 5 yards an attempt. This year, I expect to be much, much different, and the Chiefs exploring the downfield. And Belichick even said, hey, man, no one's better than this than Andy Reid, just adapting to what you have. You know, last year was about defense, and he realized that, but they get to the postseason, and they played three of the top four defenses, scoring defenses in the NFL in the postseason on the road or a neutral facility like the Super Bowl, and they won every one of them. And the only reason they didn't play all four of the top defenses because the Chiefs were number two, and so I didn't get to play them. But this isn't a homer take or anything. I would say the same thing if I didn't live in Kansas City. I think he'll win MVP.
Yeah, I think it'll be.
How do you doubt him? I mean, he's been six straight AFC title games.
It's hard to make a case for anyone else. You look at the fact that they've got that explosive power back in their offense. You look at the fact that they got a great defense. You look at the fact that other teams in the AFC are probably going to be some fall off. Right now, like, who's going to be the best receiver for the Bills this year? Probably Khalil Shakir. I mean, you know, maybe Matt Collins. Like, there's a lot
MBS.
Of questions.
Just kidding.
But there's, you know, it's like it's tough there. Like in Cincy, you've got your star wide receiver is unhappy about not being paid. You can't protect your quarterback. Your first round pick is already hurt. I mean, what do you, your second best receiver doesn't want to be there because he's not going to get paid. Like, yeah, like there's a lot of dissension there. I mean, at this point, maybe Dak Prescott, because Dak's going, he's in a contract year and he wants to get paid. And, you know, the Cowboys have Super Bowl aspirations, and I don't think they have quite as much obstacles as they had in previous years. I mean, man, there's not a lot of competition, I don't think. Like, I really do think at this point now, like, Mahomes should absolutely be your favorite. I know I think a lot of people were, like, a lot of the betting people were saying, like, Joe Burrow. But, like, man, there's some issues over there. The defense ain't quite as great.
Jamar Chase.
Don't have as many weapons.
No.
Yeah, like, I just think there's a lot of obstacles there. And you look at the Chiefs, and the Chiefs are probably better than they were the last 2 years.
Do you agree with this? I've seen this debated a little bit here and there. Do you feel that this, like last year, this is the best defense Patrick Mahomes ever had? I mean, I think we're all in agreement
on
that.
Yeah, by far, yeah.
Do you feel he has more skilled position players on offense than he's ever had? Do you think this
year? I
can't
say that now. I can't say that right now.
I mean,
now.
I'm looking back, you know, with Sammy Watkins here and Tyreek Hill. I mean, it's hard to get better than younger Kelce.
That 2019 offense was a machine.
Yeah, and that younger Kelce.
That 2018 offense was a machine.
Yeah.
Like, just having Tyreek, Kelce, Sammy, and Kareem Hunt.
Yeah, now you're dealing with an older Kelce, and you're dealing with a rookie in Xavier Worthy.
Like, 2019, McCole Hardman, 600-plus receiving yards as a gadget player. That's pretty damn nice. Like, I cannot say that right now. Now, by the middle of the season, we might be saying that. Hey, this is the best offense that they've had.
Yeah, I didn't want to do recency bias on
it. But, like, I can't say that right now because, like, I've been going back. I've been watching some of the games from 2018. I'm going to start watching some of the 2019 games. And I'm telling you, man, like, they were loaded. And here's the thing is, like, Patrick Mahomes couldn't read defenses in 2018. And he still threw for 5,000 yards and 50 touchdowns. Imagine if he had that level of talent and he knows what defenses are going to do every play. That's going to be different, man. It's a different situation. So I think he could absolutely have a hell of a year with the talent that he has because he knows what defenses are going to throw at him. So it's possible. But I just don't feel comfortable saying that now because if you look at the level, if you go back and watch them games from 18, 19, man, that level of talent, there's not that many teams in NFL history that have had that much offensive talent.
I mean, even go back to that 2020 team where Clyde actually led the way with 800 yards rushing. But that year you had Travis Kelce with 1,416 yards and Tyreek Hill had 1,276.
Right. And then, but like, you know, Tyreek, they, you know, teams had started to limit some of the big plays. And also, like, Clyde had his injury problems. They had some offensive line issues throughout the year. So, Sammy was hurt for like half the year. They weren't quite as good as they were the previous couple years. But yeah, like I said, I don't feel comfortable saying that this is the best collection of talent that he's had.
Yeah, it's a wait and see. I felt the way about the defense, and I still feel that way about the defense now. But coming up next, ESPN, they had 103 NFL players anonymously vote for who the most overrated quarterback is, who's the best trash talker. Some of these results are kind of interesting.
Welcome to your home for Kansas City sports, 96.5 The Fan.
Getting darker way earlier. It's dark right around 8 o'clock today. Used to last about 8:45 or so, but things are changing as we make our way into fall, which is the best of all seasons with football just on the horizon. Tomorrow night, be bellied up watching that. ESPN did an anonymous survey, and we saw what the NFL Top 100 was, but ESPN asked over 100 NFL players to rank quarterbacks according to a variety of criteria, including whether Mahomes, chasing his fourth Super Bowl title, is ready to supplant Tom Brady as the GOAT. So that's one thing they asked for. So they asked for top three quarterbacks, rookie quarterback who will have the most successful career, most overrated quarterback, most underrated quarterback, and biggest trash-talking quarterback. And keep in mind, this is from players, anonymous players, and some a scout that too was asked about, actually an AFC South player had said, if Brady or if Mahomes three-peats, which has never been done, that's a different story, said one AFC South player. But here were the votes for the GOAT, Brady or Mahomes. Brady had 85 of those votes. Mahomes just 7 of those votes, and other players received votes as well. Ranked the top three quarterbacks. Number one was Patrick Mahomes. Number two, Lamar Jackson. Number three, Joe Burrow. Mahomes had 291 points. Jackson 124, Burrow 51 in that. Don't disagree with that whatsoever. Now, as far as what rookie quarterback, Caleb Williams had 34. Jaden Daniels had 30 points. So very, very close. And I like Jaden Daniels with Washington a lot.
I like him, but I don't know if he's going to be it this year.
We'll see.
Next year.
We'll see. I mean, it's going to be interesting. I think Daniels no slouch, man.
I think Caleb is going to have a Mahomes 2018 type season.
Or Jaden Daniels will. I mean,
I don't think that.
Jaden Daniels throwing like Mahomes.
He don't have the talent around him like Caleb does. Caleb is going to have a year this year. So I agree with that.
Now, this is the list you don't want to be on. And if you were in Buffalo, I think you'd be a little pissed at this, for Josh Allen especially. Top vote getters for the most overrated quarterback. Number one, Josh Allen. Tied for second, Jalen Hurts and Tua.
Other top vote getters, by the way,
Justin Herbert finished right behind them.
Tua would be my number two, and then Herbert would be number three.
It was Herbert, then Trevor Lawrence, then Deshaun Watson, Kyler Murray. Brock Purdy, believe it.
I think Brock Purdy's very overrated. I don't think Deshaun is that overrated because I don't think people think he's good anymore. Like, he was overrated when he first went to Cleveland. I don't think he's overrated anymore because I don't think anybody
More from him last year.
I did not. That's my fault. I just think he's cooked. He didn't play.
Because he did lead the NFL in passing yards before the whole.
Yeah, but that was in 2020. He's cooked. He don't got it no more. And he also had DeAndre Hopkins to throw the ball to. And man, since that man left for Arizona, it's been tough for him. I would say he's overrated going into. I mean, even last year, you could kind of say he was overrated because a lot of people thought he was going to be really good, but no, not anymore.
Here was the top vote getters for the most underrated quarterback. Brock Purdy tied with Matt Stafford. So Purdy and Stafford, number one.
I can't. Not with Purdy.
The next one was Kirk Cousins.
Kirk Cousins underrated?
Yeah. Mr. one playoff win
oh
in his
my
history.
God. I think Kirk Cousins would actually be near the top as well as far as overrated quarterbacks. I think he is highly overrated.
Tied for third, too, with Kirk Cousins was actually Jordan Love and Bryce Young. Bryce Young getting the same amount of love Jordan Love was.
I don't think Bryce Young is underrated because I think he's terrible. I think Jordan Love, you can make a case he's underrated. He played really well in the second half of last season. He was awful in the first half, but in the second half, he was great. So, yeah.
Here are the top vote getters for biggest trash-talking quarterback. Who would be your guess on number one?
Josh Allen.
Josh Allen's right. Josh Allen led the way.
All he does is talk trash and flop.
Followed by Baker Mayfield and Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah, Baker's
Patrick
a trash
Mahomes
talker.
Is the fourth highest vote getter. Joe Burrow the fifth.
Yeah, Joe Burrow talks. Mahomes only talks if you talk to him first.
Oh, yeah, he'll remember. You say something, but a lot of it's in fun.
Yeah.
If he gets hit or second, he was like, good hit, good hit,
now,
good hit.
He would want to talk trash more. Sometimes it leaks out a little bit, but he generally keeps it at bay.
Like,
unless
he'll probably
you
talk trash to the Raiders after the whole Kermit the Frog thing.
No, he'll probably do something.
And I can't wait.
He'll do some gesture, like a puppet gesture or something.
He keeps receipts.
Something will happen. Yeah, absolutely. They'll do the Chiefs will do something whenever they score that first touchdown against the Raiders.
So I guess if you're Josh Allen, you feel good about it. The players consider you the best trash talker. But the fact they call him most overrated.
I don't know.
That's what hurts, man, if you're Josh Allen.
I mean, I don't know if it hurts him or not. He might not care.
I don't think he's overrated. I think he's one of the top quarterbacks.
I do think he's a little overrated.
Keep in mind, he's had a great defense. That 13-second comeback for the Chiefs, they had the number one scoring defense in the NFL.
They absolutely did.
He's always had a top five defense as quarterback.
Yeah, so I'm saying. It's like he's had some great defenses. And what has he done with it? Make the playoffs, lose in the divisional round, one conference championship game appearance. Joe Burrow has more than him. Lamar Jackson is just as many as him. Yeah, I think he's a great quarterback, but I think you can make a case he's overrated. Like, he's not on the same tier as Mahomes. A lot of people put him on the same tier as Mahomes, and I think that's disrespectful for Mahomes.
No, it is. It is.
Like, he's a great quarterback.
There's nobody in the
But, like, you can't tell me he's on Mahomes' level, and what has he done against Mahomes?
You give any other quarterback in the NFL the receivers the Chiefs had last year, tell me what that record would have been.
Like,
you know what I mean?
Mahomes has 3 Super Bowls in his career, and, you know, for Josh Allen winning the Super Bowl is beating Mahomes in the regular season.
Which, you know. Who's the next quarterback to win one?
Yeah, I mean, like I said,
it's not Mahomes. Who would you bank on? Would you bank on somebody like Stroud, or would you bank on Lamar Jackson, Joe Burrow?
Maybe Stroud.
Josh Allen?
I'll tell you this. I would put my money on Stroud or Jackson before I put my money on Allen.
Fair.
Like, I would put my money on those two guys before I put my money on Allen, or even Burrow for that matter, just because I think there's going to be a little discord there in Cincy because of those contracts. I think there's going to be a little, even if they end up paying Jamar, T still looking for money. Trey Hendrickson's not happy. Like, yeah, and not
and they've
only that,
always
but
been known as a cheap organization.
Yeah, that's what
when
I'm
it
saying,
Mike, like even towels for the
yeah,
players.
Like Paul Brown, Mike Brown, they've been known as being cheap. So, yeah, I think there's going to be a little dissension there. You also look at the defense; they're not quite as good as they used to be. Yeah, no, I'm not feeling that strong about Cincy.
And guys want to leave that team in the offseason. Things are kind of unraveling. So the Joe Burrow who kind of turned things around for that team. Which I do like Burrow. I think that he's actually a good quarterback.
I like Burrow's. I think he gets a little too much credit because he's got a lot of talent around him. But yeah, I Burrow's great.
But he's got that it. You know what I mean? He's a winner. He's got the it factor, that tough thing that, you know, you always look at with Mahomes. Like, he's got the it. Some quarterbacks have it, some don't. I think he's got it.
Yeah, he also gets hurt a lot, though.
That's a concern. We'll see what he does this year.
Two season-ending injuries in 4 years.
Great stuff, Chris Inocero. We got college football for the next 5 nights.
Yep.
And then we'll mix in some character concerns podcast as well. If you're interested in NFL draft or which players to watch during this college football weekend, go download our podcast wherever you get your podcasts, including the Odyssey app or at 96.5thefan.com. Thanks, Chris.
Thank you.
See y'all later. Bob and Dusty, 5:58 tomorrow morning.